As we started a series called Partners of the Gospel, and I shouldn't look in there, but there we go.
Right.
And so we started off looking at what it meant to be part of us. Last week we looked at the Word, and Janine believes she's got a Word on her heart for this season, for this series. And so, Father, we just thank you for her. We thank you for the preparation. We thank you for the Word that is in her. And God, we ask that you would just release us, Holy Spirit, anoint her, empower her, let her be clear, and a direct word from your heart, Father. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Once again, I just want to express my gratitude to you all for coming out this morning and sharing your time with us, and especially to the elders for giving me the incredible privilege of sharing what God's put on my heart this morning. And I guess if I could say that, my goal today is that when you leave this morning, you will never look at this book quite the same way again. Because it's just a book that is like no others. And you know, I have to say that it's funny because, believe it or not, when I start getting an idea and I start writing, I actually don't have props. And okay, I'm sure, Lord, you don't want to make me like predictable. They're always going to think I'm going to bring something. But then by the end of, you know, the day before, God starts telling me stuff. And so I'm just in obedience. So we're going to set up today. I want you to look at this book. And as I said, by the end of this morning, I don't want you to ever see it as just a book again. And one of the things that we need to ask ourselves as a Christian when we give our lives to Christ is, why do I need to study the Bible? Now, Scripture is filled with reasons. I actually don't need to tell you them all. What would be good is if you did Bible Gateway, do a Google search, and just go into your word is. And if you put that in, up zips, you know, your laws are, your precepts will. Just do that kind of a study. And things will come up such as in Psalm 119, I gain understanding from your precepts, and therefore I hate every wrong path. So if you study this, you'll gain understanding. I mean, how many of us want understanding? I would say probably everyone. John 17:17 from the Amplified Bible says, sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy by the truth. And your word is truth. So if you get into this and you study it, you'll be sanctified, you'll be purified, you'll be made holy by this. Isaiah 48, the grass withers and the flowers fail. And we sang about this today. But the word of God endures forever. And I was so encouraged with the songs, because if you notice, the word kept coming up. Jesus is his name. He's the word. And that's what we need. And as Mark said today, that your salvation does not come, I hope we understand that by reading this, this does not make me saved. Okay? Salvation comes only one way. And it's told in Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you shall be saved. So salvation is, as Mark said, by faith alone. But once you've sincerely done that and you've made him Lord, I believe that while it doesn't, reading the Bible has nothing to do with your salvation. It's done, it's sealed, you're saved. But the quality of life that you and I will live on this earth, I believe is directly proportional to the amount of time we spend in studying the Word, in God's presence, and in prayer. And so if you want a quality of life here, which is like none other that can be achieved, then open this book and begin to study, begin to dig. Now, how many of us say that, you know, God, I love you, and I want to please you, and I want to live a life for you, but actually we don't know how? So many Christians have adopted what I would call a magic wand theology. So now, it's not wrong to ask God for help. Okay, we want to pray always, 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 always asking him for help. But I don't know if you've ever been like me, but there I am. God, change me. God, change me. You've got to change me, oh God. Or even better yet, God, change my husband. Okay? Well, as many of you know, you can't change anyone. The only one you get to change is yourself. But see, saying, God, change me, God, change me. And then we wait for God to come. And he waves the wand and, oh, I'm changed. Well, you know, it would be wonderful if that would happen. But I can guarantee you that in 99.9% of the cases, God doesn't operate that way. So if you're standing there waiting for the aha moment, unfortunately, you are going to be standing there a long time. There's only one way that God changes us, and that is as we partner with him. Sorry here. And the NIV says, was my earring? Sorry. The NIV says that I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And if you read, God uses all sorts of verbs. You see, God doesn't say, God has taken his word and hidden it in my heart that I would not sin against him. He says that I have taken his word. So you see, I must be active in this process. I cannot be passive in my relationship with Jesus. He does not leave me that opportunity. He doesn't give me that choice. He also says in Joshua, I'm going to use the Message version because I like that, but as you see, it's full of verbs. He says, and God's speaking to Joshua, and don't for a minute let this book of Revelation be out of your mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get to where you're going. Then you'll succeed. How many of us sit there and go, man, I just can't seem to get there. You know, I can see where God wants me. I can't seem to get there. Well, he's telling us, he doesn't make it hard for us to understand what he wants us to do. He's actually, listen, he says, then you'll get there. Haven't I commanded you? Strength. Sometimes, you know, it's hard. But he says, strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God is with you every step you take. Every time you open this book, that's a step. You look into it. You know, we don't want to read like the guy who says, okay, let's just check box. Yes, I read my Bible today. That's not the reading I'm talking about. I'm talking about I'm going to open this, and I'm going to study it, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to look, and I'm going to ask God questions. I'm going to pull up a chair for the Holy Spirit beside me, and we're going to sit down together, and we're going to say, like, why did you put that there instead of another word in? And what do you mean by that? And I'm going to read until he speaks to me. Don't say, well, I read, but he doesn't speak to me. Well, you know what? Sit down and read until he speaks. Because God is the word and he loves to speak. Sean, if I can get you. Now, you know, the book is called, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. So the word is a lamp unto our feet. But if it stays there, if I have a lantern and I never turn it on, you can hit the lights. There you go. Just can't take them all down. Can you take them all down? If I don't turn it on, this thing is useless. Okay? And then I can turn it on, so it gives some light to my feet, you know? But if I go here, it loses its effectiveness. The way it works best as a lamp unto my feet is I take it, and I hold it, and I put it high, and I set it before me, and I walk with it, I keep it with me, and it's showing me, you know what, there's stairs there, or I can step down. If I don't have it with me, I can go, oh, boom, and I take a nasty fall. You know what? We do that sometimes. Thank you, Sean. We do that sometimes. We go for a walk and we just leave God behind, his word behind, and then we wonder why I've fallen into this place, why I've gotten hurt. It's like, how did that happen? Well, if we take this with us, if we're in it every day, if we're imbibing it, we're digesting it, we're reading it, do you know what? It will be before us. And just as I'm about to do this, the Holy Spirit reaches in and he pulls up his word and he says to me, you know, just as my husband irritates me, justifiably or unjustifiably, and I'm about to do this, he pulls up his word and says, in your anger, sin not. He tells me that anger, man, does not produce the righteousness of God. He tells me these things because he wants to save me from falling and getting hurt. But if we don't know, if I haven't spent time in this, then he can't do that for me. All right, thank you. Now, so knowing that, okay, now, and this I'm speaking for myself, okay, I know that I need this book. I know that I need to be reading it. I know I need to be in it. Then knowing that, why do we not spend time in God's Word? Why is it so hard? Now, something just to consider. Let you in on my little conversation first. So God and I are talking about this because I don't know about you, but while I want to study this, very often I don't. I'm just being honest. And so I say, okay, God, you know, why is it so hard? I want to talk about the Word and how important it is. And I know how important it is. So why is it so hard to do? Now, I want to encourage you that if you're going to ask God a question, that I don't want you to, if you don't want to know the answer, don't ask Him. Because unlike man who, if you tend to have fits, will avoid you and will not really tell you the truth because they don't want to offend you and they don't want to go down that lane. If you've lived with someone who's really touchy to walk around, you have to watch what you say. You know what I mean? But God doesn't really care if you have a fit or if you get upset or if He offends you, because He will tell you the truth when you ask Him. So I said, well, God, why is it that I find it so hard to read your Word? And He says to me, because you don't really value it. And I'm like, I love your Word. And He goes, really? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I love your Word. But of course, because I know He's God and He knows all truth, I actually know, and of course, as I'm saying this, part of me is going, oh, because it's true. Because He said, well, then if you value my Word, why is it when the Bible's there and another book is beside it and you sit down, you see the two, and I say, pick up the Bible, you pick up the book. And you'll read the book over the Bible. Why do you do that? And I'm like, good question. Okay, so I have to agree. You know, when God tells you the truth, I would suggest, rather than fighting Him on it, that you just agree, because it speeds up the process. And so I said, okay, God, what do I need to do then? You know, I'm looking for this great revelation, right? I'm like, okay, God, what should I do? You know, change me. And He's just said to me, well, do what I tell you to do. When I say pick up the Bible, pick up the Bible. The old Nike theme, just do it. And I'm like, oh, you know, I was hoping for some quick fix or some great trick, you know, that'll help me to do it. But He didn't come up with that. He just said, when I tell you to pick up the Bible, just obey. You know, one of the things we need to remember is the kingdom of God is completely opposite to the kingdom of man. You know, in the first shall be last, right? The last shall be first. Well, in reading the Bible, and it's often compared to eating, and we say very glibly that, you know what, if you don't eat the Word, just like you got to eat your bread. If you don't eat bread and you don't eat, your physical body will get weak. And, well, you got to do the same thing with the Bible. Well, actually, I would challenge you to say this, it's different, because you see, when you're hungry in the natural, your body starts to react and you get prompted and you're like, you know, I'm really hungry. And so you find something and you go and you eat and your hunger's satisfied and you're good until the next time you get hungry. And that's how it works in the natural. But in the spiritual, God has it upside down. You know, you really need to be reading your Bible when you have absolutely zero hunger. When you have no hunger to read your Bible, you're in a very dangerous place spiritually. You are actually starting on starvation. Because the way God works it is, I'm not hungry, but you know what? Because I know that it's good for me, and because He tells me to do it, I pick it up and I start to read it. And the most amazing thing happens. I'm not hungry, but I start to read. And as I start to read, I actually start to get hungry. And I want to eat more. And the more I eat, the hungrier I get. And the hungrier I get, the more I want. And that's how it works. So if you're waiting for this feeling of hunger, this feeling of, oh, I want to read God's Word, and you have nothing, it will not come. That's not how it works. What you say is, I know this is good for me. This book is life transforming. As Mark said last week, this is the best-selling book of all time, always. If this book was not life-transforming, if this book was not so important, men and women would have not died for it. There are men and women today who are being tortured and dying for this book and what is written in it. It is of incredible value. that alone should prompt me to say, you know what, I need to read it, and not just read it. I need to take it in. I need to digest it. I need to meditate on it. I need to make it a part of who I am so that I can live and please God. So if you have no desire to read the Word of God, I would challenge you today, go home and pick it up and begin. And I will guarantee you that as you sit with the Lord and you begin to go through and you read about this amazing God, you will want to get back. Something pulls you away and it's like, I can't wait to get back and sit down and read what he's telling me today. So read. It's so critical. David, King David, understood this concept. You see, it's hard. Our lives in North America especially are very, very busy. There's always something that will take up your time. Always. And if you do not purpose to set aside time for God, you will not spend time with him. Life is just too full. King David understood this concept. And you know, in 2 Samuel, when he asked to count the people, and that's a whole story in itself. And as he did that, it caused a plague to break out. And so in an effort to stem the plague, Gad, the seer, comes to him and says, God has a message for you. I want you to build an altar on the threshing floor of Ahuna, the Jebusite. So David goes and does that. So first of all, it's interesting, you know, God comes through Gad and tells him to do something. So David is obedient. And always we know obedience brings blessing. So he comes to Gad and Gad's like, oh, the king's coming. And he sees him come and he's like, what is it you want? And he says, I want to buy this this threshing floor because I want to build an altar unto God. And Ahuna's like, you know what? Here, just take it. You can have it. It's like, and not only that, but you know what? I got oxen here, and I got the yoke. You can use the yoke, and I've got my threshing implements. Think about it. This is the threshing implements. This is how he made his living, part of his food and everything he needed. And he's like, here, take it and burn it. So he actually understood sacrifice as well. But David says, no, I will not give my God that which has cost me nothing. So I would challenge you, how do you feel about that? Are you willing to say, I will not give my God that which will cost me nothing? Human beings, aren't we the funny lot, eh? We really like what is free and what does not inconvenience. So I will give my God that which is easy and that which is free. And you know what? If I have a bit of time left over, because my favorite show is on from 10 to, or 8 to 9, and I can't miss that because it's right at the crucial moment in it. But you feel God kind of nudging. Well, okay, God, let me finish my show. Let me finish this book. Let me just, you know what, I got to clean this or I got to do. And you feel him calling. And so it's like, okay, just let me. But what about you give something to God that costs you something? What about you say, you know what, I really want this. But God, I want you more. You know that the internet, one of the greatest time wasters, it sucks your time like you wouldn't believe. But it's really interesting and it's enjoyable. And, you know, like I'm on eBay looking for deals, okay? And I'm just being honest with you. But what about if I say, you know what? Do I really need to be doing this? How about, God, I take that time? Because one of the things we say all the time is, I don't have time. I just don't have time. Well, I'll tell you, we all have time. It's how you decide to use it as to what happens. So I'll just leave it there. I would challenge you to say, God, when you hear the Lord call you, rather than say, in a minute, Lord, that you would say, I will not give my Lord that which has cost me nothing. I will sacrifice that thing which I desire to spend time with you because you are more important. And as you do that, I will guarantee you, you will be blessed beyond measure. Because God delights to be with you. Now, as you read his word, it does change you. If you do not study and take this in and meditate on it, as I said before, you haven't a clue as to what you're going to do. You know, on Wednesday night, when I went out to the car, and Jess and Jonathan were with me, and we see that someone had come, and taken a can of whatever and paint stripper and thrown it on the car. Now, after I get over my initial kind of, like, why, how would someone do that? Because that's just not part of my thinking. I have to tell you that I went home that night, and I had a great night's sleep. I did not lose one, you know, I was not freaked out by it. It didn't steal my joy. It doesn't, even now, I'm not like, because, not because I'm some kind of super saint, but because, you see, while I don't know everything that's in here, and there's so much still, there are a few passages that I have taken and I have eaten and I have dwelled on and that are part of who I am. And so when that happens, God whispers to me and he says to me, everything, if you submit to me your mind, your will, your emotions, you submit it to me, everything I will take and work it for your good. And so I'm like, oh, okay, like there's good coming out of this. I don't have to be freaked by it because God has just told me that what happened to me on Wednesday night, he's going to do good. He's going to bring good for me out of it. And then he says to me, everything that you have is mine. So it's not your car, it's my car. So you see, but if I hadn't read this, if I didn't know what was in here, I could have been, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, oh my goodness, how could someone do this to me? And, oh, I'm pacing. And it just would eat you up and steal your joy. And like, what kind of Christian life is that? What kind of reality is there into the peace that passes understanding? But because I know there's a peace that passes understanding, I can walk and I can live in it. But if I don't know it, if I haven't read it, if he hasn't spoken it to me, if the Holy Spirit hasn't come alongside me and gone, look, isn't that amazing? I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know about you, but whenever I read it, I go like, that's like amazing. There's not a bad thing in here, right? You read something and you flip somewhere else and there's like, it's all so good. But because I know it, he can pull it out of me. And it becomes reality, and I can live the life that he wants me to live. It has to be in you for him to pull it out of you. It's worth the sacrifice. Now, we must take the time to let God speak to us, to give us the understanding, the theology of how God works through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, through his word, which will guide us. Because if we don't, we will never break our bad habits. There was a time when I would have been sleepless. But because of God's word, who says he makes me to lie down in peace and sleep, I can do that because his word changes me. When we eat, digest, and value God's word above our own wants, emotions, and wishes, change will come. Put his word first. Don't put your emotions first. Don't put your want, I wish, I will. Don't put those first. Get into this and put this first, and it will be the most exciting ride you will start to go on. You know, John, it tells us that Jesus is the bread of life. Wally brought this up. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Pardon me, what were you saying? That's for the bagel. I'm so sorry, honey. You want that for breakfast this morning? We had one left. Oops. They never know when I'm prowling around, what I'm scavenging from who. If you want to be strong, if you want to develop muscle, you must feed good. And when Jesus was referencing bread, he wasn't talking about that white fluffy stuff. He was talking about good bone building, muscle strengthening, protein adding to your body stuff. And that's what this is. This will cause your body to grow and be healthy and be strong. And he also tells us, in the word. See, that's where you get it from. You've got to look in here. What is it? He tells us it's a sword. But the word of God, Hebrews 4, but the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate. It's able to expose what's in the heart. And that's what happens. You see, you come to the word of God, and you begin to read, and Jesus takes it, and he kind of goes like this. And he exposes what's in my heart. But don't shrink back. Don't be afraid when he does that, because he doesn't expose what's in your heart to beat you up. He exposes what's in your heart to set you free. And he will come and he will do the work as you submit to him. He doesn't expose it even so that you can now go work on it. He says, no, look what's there. Will you let me? And all you have to do is say, yes, I will let you. You know, God means what he says, it says in the message. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open, what for? To listen and to obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it, no matter what. Now, there's something else, another reason why we need to read the word. Any of you got any dry patches? Or maybe have you got some sore muscles? You've been through some stuff? You got a little beaten up? And you're aching. You know, unless you know his word, you will not feel his hand as it brushes across you and says, I will never leave you or forget you. Are you feeling lonely? I will never abandon you. Even if a nursing mother abandons her baby, I will never leave you. When it's like, God, this is too hard. I can't do this anymore. If you do not know this, what's in here, you will never hear him say to you, my strength is perfected in your weakness. Never hear him say to you, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. If you don't know what's in here, you will never hear him whisper to your heart the words you need to hear to get through the day. And of course, we all need one of these to go through life, don't we? Right? 2 Samuel. As for God, his way is perfect. Even that right there is enough for you to think about for a long time. What do you mean your way is perfect, God? What is your way? What is perfect? That's fantastic right there. The Lord's word is flawless. Like already it's talking, look at this thing is amazing. It's perfect and it's flawless. Do you know anything that's perfect and flawless in the world? The word of God is. He shields all who take refuge in him. Do you need to stand behind something, someone, because you're getting battered? Then you take this up and you read what he says and you stand behind him because he is a tower. He is my refuge. The righteous run to him and are safe. Don't just read it. Digest it. Make it a part of who you are. You know, if we don't do that, we will be weak and malnourished Christians. And the winds of adversity will blow and we will be tossed to and fro. We will fall. But if we've taken this and we've digested it and we put it into the very fiber of our spiritual muscles, the wind blows and we stand. And we stand. And we don't stand in our own strength, but we stand in his. He comes alongside us because I'm standing there. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. He's speaking to me. And I'm like, yes, because he's speaking to me. He's strengthening me. His word is bringing me life. His word is bringing me strength. His word is bringing me courage. His word is making me steadfast. His word will not let me be. His word makes me relentless. And I stand and I stand because he says, when you've done all, stand. And how do I know that? Because I've read it in here. And so I can stand. Why study the Bible? Why study the Bible? Because if you do not, you will never truly know the amazing God who is telling you all through this book, you matter to me. He says, Amanda, you matter to me. He says, Linar, when you open this book, he's saying, you matter to me. Risu, you matter to me. Pearly, you matter to me. He says, Bill, you matter to me. David, you matter to me. Put your name in there. When you open this book, he's saying, you matter to me. You will never know the plans he has for you. What are those plans, you say? Well, he tells you what those plans are. He says the plans he has are to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. So you look at your situation. If all you know is your situation, you will be defeated. But you say, you know what? This is what my situation says. But this is what my God says. And my God is bigger than any situation. My God can change any situation. My God says in here that nothing is impossible for him. But if I don't open this, I won't know that. I won't know that. This story that God wanted to share to say you mattered is why Jesus came and died on the cross. That is why he was willing to pay any price. You see, God is not cheap. God will not give us his cast-offs, his leftovers. He will not squeeze us into a little bit of space and time. He has a minute extra. Okay, now I can see you. No, he's extravagant. He gives his best. We hear it all the time. He gave Jesus. And he did that so we would be restored into relationship with him and know him. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they might know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And how are you going to do that? How are you going to get to know him? Open this book and begin to lose yourself in the pages of the most amazing love story that you could ever read. As Mark said before, you want to have passion. You want to read about passion. Read in here. You want to see battle and victory and defeat and defeat raised into victory. You want to see death become life. It's in here. It's in here. And it's not just a word. It's a living word. So every time you read it, it will do something. It comes alive in a new way. It dances off the pages into your very heart, into your soul, so that you then begin to live the word. Because it becomes a part of who you are. And so it's not this dead thing. Then people go like, what is it in you? And it's like, I can't. It's just, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Because I've got this living in me. And as this lives in me, he lives in me. And the Holy Spirit moves and he says, lay hands on that person. And you know you've ingested and you've become so real to you that he sent his word and healed him. That you reach forth your hand and God comes and he moves through you. And he honors his word because it says that he will validate his word by signs and wonders following. So you preach not, I don't know, the self-help book or the inspirational story. You preach his word. That's what he honors. He watches over what? He watches over what you think or what you're hoping or what you read some good author wrote about the Bible. No, he watches over his word to perform it. So I just want to, you know, it's like, I am passionate about this. And I want to implore you today. Decide. It's a decision. You know, Jim Lamont has been up here before, and he's a lovely man. You may not have met him. And to me, he's like one of the like super saints kind of deal. And Emery shared up here, you know, some days I don't want to read my Bible. And I was like, oh my goodness, isn't that scandalous? You'd think that someone who's really gone through so much and lived such a, you know, a strong life in Christ would always want to read their Bible. And he's like, no. But you know, he says, you know what I do? He said, take. And I go like this, I twist that arm, and I say to myself, you get in there, and you read. And that always stuck with me, and I thought, you know what, that's what I would challenge you to do. Because just as we're reading a book called Love is a Decision at home, and just as that's a decision, and accepting Christ's decision, reading this book is a decision. And I would implore you today, next to deciding for Christ, deciding to make this book a part of who you are is the most valuable thing you will ever do. Put him first. Decide, I will not go to bed every night until I have read something and encountered God in His Word. And just decide that. And when you find yourself in bed and the Holy Spirit goes, you forgot to, and you go, oh, but I'm so tired. I don't want to get up. And the Holy Spirit goes, well, it's up to you. Get that arm out. Thank you, honey. Get that arm out and say, out of bed. Get over to the table and have a moment alone with the God who will sustain you no matter what. Remember, this book is worth dying for, but even more, it's worth living. We want to live this. We want to, in its entirety, front to back, we want to be able to live it so that a lost and dying world will see it and become so enraptured by this love story that they will never be able to resist. An unknown author, I'll leave you with this, an unknown author put it this way. The Bible is the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It's the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory. Do not say ever again, I cannot memorize Scripture. Instead, I want you to say, God is giving me an increased capacity to memorize His Word. Call that which is not as though it were, because He tells you to do that in here. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. Follow its precepts, and it will lead you to Calvary, to the empty tomb, a resurrected life in Christ, and yes, to glory itself for eternity. All of that is yours, and it's as near as your hand reaching out and picking it up. When you look at your Bible, I don't want you to see a book from now on. I want you to see a lamp. I want you to see bread. I want you to see a sword. I want you to see balm. I want you to see a shield. And when you're in a situation and you need a shield, I want the first thing you to think of, I need protection. I got to go to the Word. There's something in my life that's not right. I need to see what's going on inside of me. I need to go to the Word. You know what? I don't know where to go, what I'm doing. I feel kind of like I'm in a bit of a fog. I need to go to the Word. Go to the Word. He will never disappoint you. Come, and would you choose with me to decide that I will make this a part of my life starting today? Thank you.